Well, welcome to another sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church. My name is Dan Walls and I'm the pastor at St. Susie Baptist Church. And it's our desire to see all people from all walks of life come to experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And we pray this message goes some way to blessing you here today, but also goes some way to achieving that in your life here today. Once again, we do pray that this message is a blessing to you. We're in this series, Hide This In Your Heart, and may extend my welcome to you all. A bit quieter this morning, being the long weekend, obviously, so I thought we'd bring it down here so we can chat. But we've been in this series, Hide This In Your Heart, and it's about memorizing Scripture, the spiritual discipline of memorizing Scripture for kingdom impact. Now, here's the test to see whether you've done your homework. Greg, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Anyone memorize that? Who wants to give it a crack? Well done. That's good. Someone did it. Well done. Anyone else want to have a crack? Vivian? Hey, good job. Well done. Anyone else? It was an easy one this time. All right, so whack it up there, Greg, for us. Good job, guys. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. Well done, guys. Good stuff. So this coming week, we've got another one. And again, it follows the Mike Frost book, the Bell's Model, Bless, Eat, Listen, Learn, Understand Yourself as Sent One. So that was a blessed passage. This week it's eating together, hospitality. Let's have a look at it. Hebrews 13:2. Let's read it together, everybody together. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Bit of a harder passage. All right. So that's our task this week. That was the shortest out of the lot, so consider yourselves lucky. Hebrews 13:2 is our passage for this week, an encouragement to show hospitality to all people. So remember that, Hebrews 13:2. Hopefully those online can see it as well. We're going to dive into this topic, the beautiful, the big, beautiful, expansive gospel. Let me pray for us as we do that. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you would again open our eyes and our hearts to this message, help us understand more of your gospel, the incredible, amazing gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that as I speak, that your Spirit would move in our hearts and minds. May we be receptive to what you want to say to us this morning, both here on site and also those viewing online. We pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would be moving in this moment now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, have you ever experienced something so spectacular, so amazing, so incredible that you could not help but share it with others? Maybe it was a show on Broadway that you experienced, a sporting event. Maybe it was just a time with your family, your friends, whatever the case may be. Have a think about a time where you've experienced something so incredible that you couldn't help but share it. Obviously, being a keen basketball player, I've often tried to convert people to the game of basketball, take them along to a Sydney Kings game, and I'm often so stoked with the atmosphere and experience. I'm just raving about it. How good was that? Only to get replies from my friends, yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it was cool. It was good. Like, how can you not see what I saw? It was so good, so amazing. Has anyone had that experience before? Well, you've been sharing and the person that's experienced with you went, yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was okay. On the flip side, I'm sure people that love art, and now I'm no artist, this is an example, but I've often gone to an art gallery or whatever and looked at a piece of art and been alongside novice artists. My previous church had a lot of those. And I'll look at it and I'll be like, yeah, I guess it's okay. Like, are you kidding me? This is phenomenal. This is an incredible piece of art. Okay, it's good, yep. But sometimes we don't appreciate what others appreciate. And when we talk like this, it was okay. We're sort of reducing the experience for the other person. Well, when it comes to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, you and I need to be careful about reducing this incredible message, amen. We need to be careful not to reduce it to, it's pretty good. Do you want to experience it? Because if we're doing this, we're limiting the power of the gospel message. We're reducing the gospel to something that it isn't. Because the gospel message, the very word gospel, means good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. It's not just good news. This is incredible news, amen? This is amazing news, spectacular news, unbelievable news for our lives. And we need to speak about it in such a way that it demonstrates this reality to others. Amen? Amen? Does your life and my life demonstrate a gospel that's like this? Do our lives demonstrate the power of the gospel? Or do we reduce it in our words and our actions to something that it isn't? Do we limit the power of the gospel? Well, last week we looked at a message from Graham Hill, the author of the book that we're looking at, Hide This in Your Heart. And Graham spoke about the importance of memorizing scripture or practicing this spiritual discipline, adopting the spiritual discipline of memorizing scripture into our lives so that we can have a kingdom impact that is, in fact, effective and fruitful. Graham spoke about how God desires our faith to be meh. Did he? No, he spoke about our faith needs to be effective. Our faith needs to be passionate and vigorous. But he also spoke about how Jesus is our example who empowers us to live a passionate Christian life. And the way in which that we harvest such a vigor and passion for God's word, a passion for the gospel message of Jesus Christ, is by harvesting this discipline of scripture memorization. Because when we look at scripture, Jesus was always quoting scripture, wasn't he? Jesus had God's words literally in the very marrow of his bones. He had absorbed it so much into his mind and into his heart that any situation that required it, he would quote God's word to people. We again need to learn to know scripture for the same reason as Jesus did, to rebuke the enemy, to rebuke temptation when it comes to it. We need to embrace this discipline as well, I believe. And a big part of this strategy is not just about memorizing and learning passages that we like, or that we prefer, but actually memorizing the whole of Scripture, learning the whole gospel of message of Jesus Christ. In their book, Hide This in Your Heart, Graham speaks about, and Mike speak about, the most viewed passages online, that being through Bible Gateway or also YouVersion, the app YouVersion. Who's used YouVersion or has that on their phone? A few of us. Yeah. Well, I encourage you, those online, those also here today, download this app. It's a great resource, not just for reading scripture on your phone, but it has devotions, it has reading plans, it has a whole lot of resources that I myself use regularly in order to marinate my life in God's word. So please download this from the App Store. It's a great resource, free of charge from Life Church in the United States. But they were talking about some of the most downloaded passages or viewed passages from this app and also online. And in 2015, it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Does anyone know that passage off by heart? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That was the most viewed passage in 2015. In 2016, it was Romans 8, 28. Anyone know that one off by heart? I don't. I'm going to refer to my notes. But it says, we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In 2017, it was Joshua 1, 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These are just some of the passages that have been the most downloaded passages over the last few years, or last 6 or 7 years. And with these in mind, the founder of YouVersion, Bobby Grunewald, says, people worldwide are continuing to turn to the Bible in search of comfort, encouragement, and hope. And praise God for that reality, amen. When you look at it, there's 790 million downloads on Bible Gateway, 1.7 billion downloads on YouVersion alone. That's a lot of people downloading Scripture, and praise God. But what Mike and Graham referred to in their book and their concern is that what we are exposing, the Scripture we're exposing ourselves to, is limiting the gospel in our lives. They speak of it, these passages, as focusing more on giving comfort to the self, which is true. These are reassuring verses, and obviously people are turning to Scripture, but are we overseeing other passages that speak of God's heart for the lost and the broken? Passages that speak of God's heart for justice, for racial reconciliation, welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, and his desire to end all of oppression. This leads them to write, we are not only a redeemed people, we are redeemed to be agents of reconciliation, prophets of justice, people of peace. Are we overseeing these passages purely because we like these other reassuring ones for life? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. As we're going to come to see, the gospel is greater than this, amen? Much greater. And so with that in mind, the encouragement is to memorize portions of Scripture that help us broaden our understanding of the gospel in order to see God's incredible story of love and redemption resonate in our hearts and lives. The broader story of the coming kingdom that's focused on justice, reconciliation, and peace, because first and foremost this morning, the gospel is far more than just saving souls, amen? The gospel encompasses so much more than just saving souls. Obviously, that is a big part of what Jesus was on about and what God's heart is. But as we've seen in our series in the Gospel of Luke, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it's not just about getting to heaven when we die, amen? It's not just about getting that ticket to heaven in our back pocket and saying, fantastic, I'm free to do whatever I want now. I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm going to heaven. That's not what the gospel is all about, amen? The gospel is not just about saving lives. And we can see the incredible power that the gospel has in that passage that was read out to us in Romans 1, 8 to 16. We can see the Apostle Paul's understanding of the gospel. That's not just about a message that's about saving lives, but ultimately redeeming this whole entire world. Pastor and author Tim Keller says this, the gospel is good news that God himself has come to rescue and renew all of creation through the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Amen. Because when we look around us in the world today, this world, creation is broken. Think about the floods, the earthquakes, the natural disasters we're experiencing, the bushfires. This world is broken, not just humanity. This world is crying out for a redeemer. This world is crying out to be rescued and redeemed. All of creation is what God is seeking to renew. And I think we can come to think sometimes, well, when we look at sin and we look at Adam and Eve, that Jesus was plan B. God created them and was like, oh no, what have I done? Jesus, come and help and save the day. It wasn't like that. Jesus was always plan A, amen? He was always front and center of God's plan and purpose for this world. And we can look at that and ask questions like, well, why did God create us if he knew we were going to sin? Well, why did he create this tree and then obviously they were going to fail? But no, they had freedom to do whatever they wanted, amen? It wasn't a restrictive life, it was a free life. There was only one thing that they were not meant to do, yet they still did it. So these are some of the questions we can ask ourselves, but we're really not going to have the answers to them until we come face to face with our Creator. But this is where faith comes in, amen? Faith that he is in control, and Jesus was always part of God's plan, his redemption plans for this world, this broken world. God is sovereign. Everything is under his sovereign rule and reign. And evidently, he is directing everything back to the way that he ordained it, the way he created it at the very beginning. So we limit the gospel in our lives, and we limit the way we go about evangelism, mission and discipleship. If we think that God is only concerned about saving souls, because he's not just concerned about rescuing people, but redeeming the whole entire world, all of his creation. We limit the gospel when we differentiate between personal salvation and social transformation, when we differentiate between evangelism and social justice as well. All of this matters to God, amen? All of it. And it should matter to us as well. So with that in mind, mission isn't all about saving souls. It's about being Jesus' hands and feet in this world, amen? Advocating for the oppressed. Come alongside those who need meals, food and clothing. Ultimately, followers of Jesus, or being a follower of Jesus, is all about seeing which is not of God in this world and seeking to transform it from death to life. We partner with him in that, amen? That's the implication when we accept Jesus in our life. We are then called to be a vessel of life and love and a vessel of transformation in this world as well. So the question before us is, what does that look like for you? Is your understanding of the gospel limited to just seeing people come to know Jesus? Obviously, it's a huge part of what we're talking about this year. We want to see lives transformed, amen? We want to see people coming to know Jesus. That's why we're running Alpha. Encourage you to get on board with that. Let people know in your life who don't know Jesus that we're running this program. Invite them along to that. But we've also been doing other elements this year which shows the expansive nature of the gospel, like raising money to support those in Outback Australia by supporting people who are working intentionally with them, raising money for Love Mercy to build wells so that people have access to clean drinking water, donating food and resources to Hope Street to bless those in need, which we've been doing recently. This is all part of what we are called to do as a church, as followers of Jesus, amen? These are examples of where we are seeking to open our hearts as a church to the bigger picture than just simply saving souls. So where in your life and mine can we demonstrate this big, beautiful, expansive gospel? Where is God calling you and I to serve, to be a vessel of life and transformation, to advocate for social justice in your neighborhood? I strongly believe that for us to truly live this out, we need to realize that the gospel isn't just about us. Amen? The gospel isn't just about you and I. The gospel isn't just about saving souls. It's not about you, unfortunately. It's far greater than that. My kids are really into Colin Buchanan at the moment. You like Colin Buchanan, Malachi? Oh, okay, there you go. That's a bit sad. Sitting you were dancing along to it yesterday in the car. We love Colin Buchanan, we really do. He's a great, has a blessing of a ministry to children in particular. And we love him, and I went to school with his kids, so I'm a bit biased in that regard. But there's one particular song that if we are to dig a little deeper into it, it's actually not theologically sound, as it were. I know it's a kid's song, and I don't want to, you know, put down his work, but that song is, "He died upon the cross." Do we know this one? "He died upon the cross. He died upon the cross for me. It's not about me." Amen. Again, I don't want to put down this song, but it's about each and every one of us. It's about all of this world. He didn't just die for me. He died for all of creation. Amen. He died for this world. And again, I know it's a kid's song. I don't want to put it down. But this is the reality of the gospel. He died for all of humanity, all of creation to be redeemed. And I know we're getting technical here, but if we're going to be serious about the gospel, then this is the reality, amen? The gospel is for all people, all of creation. It should say this song, for us, because he loves you. He loves me. He loves each and every one of us. And this is why we need to be careful when we read passages like this, Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." We can so easily make that about me. Oh, God's going to prosper me, has plans for me, which is true. But this is why context is important, because this passage was written for a people, for a community, for the nation of Israel, to give them strength to endure 70 years of exile. Can you see why context is important? And I'm not saying that God wouldn't use that to speak into our lives. Absolutely, He can. But we need to be aware that the gospel is not just about me. It's not just about you. It has far-reaching implications for this whole entire world. And when we realize we're part of a bigger picture, a bigger system, a bigger plan, it makes our ability to focus on the needs of others a lot easier, I reckon. When we realize that it's actually about others as well. And this is why we encourage us to memorize passages like this 1 Thessalonians passage that we talked about. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up. Or 1 John 3, 17 and 18, which says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Can you see by memorizing these kinds of passages, making them part of your DNA, who you are, what you're seeking to live out? It's very hard to make life about yourself then, amen? When we're starting to make these passages part of our lives. I think this also has implications for the way we go about evangelism and mission as well. If we're simply saying to people or preaching the gospel that's about ourselves, then you can understand that when people do make a decision to follow Jesus, that they again realize, oh, it's all about me. I've got my ticket to heaven. That's all I need to worry about. But again, it's not. Amen. We need to make it about others when we share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. We have work to do. We are called to serve God in His church, fan into flame the gifts of the Spirit that He has given us to exercise, to advocate for reconciliation, to come alongside the poor, the marginalized, and the oppressed, ultimately be Jesus' hands and feet. This is what we need to be sharing with people as well. That yes, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, there's a whole way of life that God calls us into. A way of life that we were created to live from the very outset of creation. So we need to ask ourselves, what gospel are we preaching? Is it a reduced view of faith, or does it encompass all that God intended it to encompass? For again, we need to know the entire gospel, amen? We need to know the entire gospel if we are going to reach people with this incredible, amazing message of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul says, for it is, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile, every single other person that walks this earth. Again, the way we come to know this is to memorize Scripture, to memorize God's Word, absorb it into our very marrow, our very bone, that we come to live it out in our lives, particularly when we share the gospel with others. The gospel isn't just about saving souls. It's not just about you. And thirdly, it's not about avoiding hell. It's not just about avoiding hell. And when you think about it, this also makes it a bit of an individualistic faith, doesn't it? When we think this, it becomes about me and avoiding God's wrath, as it were, God's wrath, as it were. One very, very well-known evangelistic technique involves asking people, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Have you heard that before? People have often used that to reach others, and it's fair enough, but again, it's focusing on avoiding God's wrath, isn't it? In the book, Mike and Graham talk about another approach to evangelism that we can employ in our lives, and it's written by, it's called the telic approach, and it's in this book, The Suburban Captivity of the Church by Tim Foster. And this approach focuses more on God recovering His purposes for this world, again, redeeming this lost and broken world. And the word telic, or the term telic, comes from the Greek word telos, which means end or purpose. And this is what he says in his book, The Suburban Captivity of the Church. The gospel is the announcement that God's purposes are being fulfilled, that the old world order is finished, and his new order, which is called the kingdom of God, is arriving through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we approach evangelism in this way, when we share the gospel in this way, the focus is taken off avoiding punishment, but inviting people, inviting sinners, again, to enjoy God's purposes for them in this world. The purposes for which they were created. Can we see how different the two approaches are? The focus on you saving yourself or avoiding God's wrath, as opposed to being invited into the incredible, amazing mystery which it is. Invited into being part of what God is already doing in this world, amen? I believe it has so much more power in it when we focus on that. Yes, we are saved from God's wrath 100%. Not diminishing that, but there's so much more to it, amen? This is what we need to know and encompass, particularly when sharing the faith. And again, both of these approaches are explained, so I'm going to leave it there and encourage you to buy a copy and read it because there's so much more to this telic approach that I really encourage you to read and to understand. But this is the big, beautiful, expansive gospel message of Jesus Christ that we need to know and also own. Amen. We are stewards over it. Amen. We have responsibility to share it, to demonstrate it, to help people understand it, which is why, again, we are running Alpha. The gospel is not just about saving souls. The gospel is not just about you. It's not just about avoiding hell. And fourthly, the gospel is all about God. Amen. The gospel is all about God, which brings us now to this time of communion. As Raph comes up to play, I encourage you to prepare yourselves, and there's some communion cups at the back if you haven't. If you're online, I encourage you to prepare yourself for communion. But the gospel is not about us. The gospel is all about God. And what this does, this symbolic act of communion, it reminds us of God's rule and reign in this world. Amen. It reminds us that the gospel isn't about us, it's about Him, Jesus Christ. And it invites us into understanding more of the purposes and the plans that He has for His church, His people. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, is a memorized celebration of God's rule and reign. And Ephesians shows us this. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Again, it's not about you or what you've done, it's about what Jesus has done. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 that on the same night in which Jesus was handed over, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he distributed to his disciples, and he said, "Take it, eat your fill, it is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He did with the same, the cup of wine after supper, and he said, "This cup seals the new covenant in my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. This is the beautiful, expansive, incredible, amazing gospel. Amen. This act reminds us of what God has already done in this world and is doing. But it also reminds us that we have a part to play. And we don't always get it wrong because we do make life about us. That's our natural sinful nature. But this is an opportunity to repent of making life about us, refocusing our attention on Him, and asking, inviting Him to show us where He wants us to serve, where He wants us to be His hands and feet. And that requires us, again, overcoming sin, conquering sin, getting on top of sin, so it doesn't come into our relationships, into our lives, where we put people off. So again, I encourage you, as you take off this cup, take off the wafer, the bread, to remind yourselves of this beautiful, amazing gospel that you've been invited into, but also to remind yourselves of the part that you and I have to play in seeing God's purposes ultimately enacted in this world. So I'm going to pray, encourage you to take the wafer, to spend some time with Jesus, and then I'll pray, then we'll take the cup together. Well, Father God, as we come before you now, we thank you for the reality of the gospel. We thank you for the life that you have invited us into. We thank you, Father, that you are in control, not just of our lives, but of your church, of this church, of the church universally. And Lord, you are in control of this world, even when we look around and we see the chaos and the violence and the disdain and the drunkenness and everything that goes with sin. You're still in control. You're still sovereign. Nothing takes you by surprise. Even in our own lives, when the chaos takes hold, when the anxiety wells within, when the worry and the distress takes hold, Lord, you're still in control. You're still sovereign. And so, Lord, in this moment now, I pray that you would be with us as we take this moment just to reflect and to respond, to remember. May you do a work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I encourage you to take this moment to be with God, and then we'll come and sing one song together.